You're listening to From the Archives, an NHPR production. I'm Eric Larrabee. New Hampshire's Carl Dreyrup was known as the world's leading enamelist. But what exactly is enameling?
What father did was paint with fire.
That's Oliver Dreyrup, Carl's son. Oliver described why enameling was an overlooked medium before his father came around.
It's very stressful. It's a difficult medium. What you do is you employ ground glass, which you essentially place on a metal substrate and then fire and melt in order to get it to bond to that metal substrate.
Depending on the type of heat and glass involved, the finished enamel lends a glossy color to the heated object. Carl Dreyrup's career took him to Italy and New York City and eventually to Thornton, New Hampshire.
He liked the life and he liked the people.
Dreyrup received the Lotta Jacobi Living Treasure Award from the state in 1989. Cynthia Robinson, director of the Carl Dreyrup Art Gallery at Plymouth State University, explained why Dreyrup was chosen.
The way that he designed and kind of created these enamel kind of process, which was extraordinary, and I think not something that was very common in New Hampshire at all. So I think his artist practice was absolutely outstanding and innovative.
Dreyrup's innovation extended beyond his artwork and was evident in the way he structured the Plymouth State Art Department, where he taught for 20 years.
He kind of invented the art department here. The whole concept that students, future teachers, future art teachers, should be learning from working artists is really the essence of the program and is still with the university today.
From the archives this week, former NHPR arts producer Philip Bragdon caught up with Carl Dreyrup after he won the Living Treasure Award in 1989. Stay tuned afterward for more of my conversation with Oliver Dreyrup.
When Carl Dreyrup and his wife Gertrude first came to this little house in Thornton in 1946, it was the end of a very long journey, one that had started in 1930 when Mr. Dreyrup left his native Germany to study in Italy. Upon Hitler's rise to power in 1933, Dreyrup did not return to Germany because his wife was Jewish. They took refuge first for several years in the Canary Islands through the beginning of the Spanish Civil War and finally settled in New York in 1937. But with the United States' entry into World War II, the Dreyrups were classified as enemy aliens and were forced to remain in New York without permission to travel to other parts of the country.
This is my world. I'm a painter, basically.
Mr. Dreyrup had been trained at the most prestigious art academies in Germany and Italy, and was well equipped to earn his living here in America. It was at the suggestion of designer Tommy Partzinger that Dreyrup took up the almost forgotten art of enamel work. His grounding in painting, sculpture, ceramics, and glass gave him an ideal background for work in enamels. Working at a toilet factory in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, Dreyrup began to turn out enamelware of rare beauty and grace, and soon became the object of a great deal of attention on New York's art market.
I was a success on Madison Avenue because the art trade got a hold of me, and I was a sensation. You see, nobody made enamels. I was the first one in New York who made any enamels at all. Because it had fallen into ill repute, disrepute, and it was just out of fashion. Nobody could make a good enamel. Nobody. Nobody. Even today. I swear that stuff.
Carl Dreyrup came to New Hampshire in 1946 primarily to escape the hubbub of New York City, but also to settle down and begin to recover from the past 15 years. His intention was to live out his days producing prints, paintings, and enamels in his little studio, which he'd built himself on a hillside behind the house. But nearby was a little teacher training college, now called Plymouth State, which was struggling to put together an art department. It was his barber that first urged Dreyrup to accept the job as Plymouth's first art instructor. Reluctantly, Dreyrup agreed to talk to the college president, and eventually he decided to teach for just 1 year while the department was getting started. He wound up staying 20 years.
So, you see, in Plymouth, the faculty is very homegrown in the faculty of the school, and the school has had very little to offer. Today it is different. But I was an outsider. Oh, my God, I didn't fit. And with some wonderful people I met, wonderful. And we had wonderful students. And I really liked it because my Americanization took place in Plymouth.
Dwerup grew very fond of Plymouth State and was impressed by the enthusiasm he was able to inspire in the students. During these years at Plymouth, Dwerup's reputation began to take off, based largely on his enamel work done during the war years in New York. By the 1960s, he was widely considered the world's leading enamelist. One is immediately struck by the myriad of colors and textures which Dwerup manages to get out of his work. From ground glass in literally hundreds of jars on shelves in his studio, Dwerup creates stunning scenes from classical myths, vibrant dance sequences reminiscent of the Commedia dell'arte, and rich sylvan panoramas, which could have been inspired by none other than the rugged New Hampshire landscape. Many of Dwerup's enamels are on plates, jars, and other pieces of ceramic ware. But still others are oblong pieces set off by handcrafted pewter frames. Dwerup's work is found in many of the world's great galleries, including the Metropolitan in New York and the Smithsonian in Washington. Among his many admirers are two famous American actors who visited Dwerup during a shoot here in New Hampshire about 10 years ago.
Oh, yes, Katharine Hepburn. Oh, God, yes. She came. She stood in front of this corner there, and she did like this. How much is this? And she showed me. All three chairs. The old thing. Oh, my God. They bought like mad. And Henry Fonda came 2 days later. He could not come. Oh, Henry Fonda. He bought paintings. He couldn't get over it that I was hiding here. I said, that's what I'm doing. I ran away from, I cannot cope with New York. And the pretentiousness of it. And the phoniness, and the, look what a genuine life this is. My God. For one who was on the run, I didn't do so badly. I didn't. And I know it. And I'm grateful. This is my land.
Carl Dwerup is 86 years old now. But his pace has not really slowed much. He still trudges back and forth between his house and his workshop and still produces most beautiful enamelware through his mysterious alchemy.
That was Philip Bragdon for NHPR in 1989 when Carl Dwerup received his Living Treasure Award from the state of New Hampshire. In 1986, Plymouth State awarded Dwerup an honorary degree and named its art gallery after him. Dwerup died in 2000 at the age of 96. Now, here's more from my conversation with Oliver Dwerup. The prompt for this blog entry was the story about your father winning the 1989 Living Treasure Award. So what did that award mean to him?
The Living Treasure Award, I think, was extremely important to Father. And it was extremely important to him because if you can recall that he arrived in the United States with very little money indeed and only his skills... to have gone from that position to being considered a living treasure in a state in the United States was really an indication of his having found a home. And I think that that was very important to him.
Well, I wanted to ask about how New Hampshire became his home. Obviously, he lived a fascinating life from Germany and Italy to the Canary Islands to New York City and finally New Hampshire. I'm wondering why he chose to settle in New Hampshire, and how did the setting here impact his artwork?
Initially, Father met David Campbell, who was the director of the League of New Hampshire Arts and Crafts. Father was also very drawn to the simplicity of the Yankee aesthetic. Those things collectively attracted him here. He liked the life, and he liked the people. The way in which that influenced his artwork was that he was always a very keen observer of the life around him, and he was very much attracted to the nature of the boreal forest and the critters and the flora and fauna, and those things enter his artwork once he starts living here, and you see them more and more through to the end of his life.
Cynthia Robinson from the gallery at Plymouth State mentioned that the art department there has been preserving your father's idea that art students should be taught by practicing artists. Why was that idea so important to him?
Well, that was the way he was taught. And indeed, that's how Father wound up working at Plymouth State. He agreed to go and demonstrate a couple of times and wound up establishing the art department there. But that's how he taught. He would go into the studio and he would get one of the students to sit for a portrait, and he would paint the portrait and let all the other students watch him do it. And if you do that on a daily basis, you can't help but learn a great deal about how to see, for example, or how to paint.
Cynthia also mentioned a planned future exhibit at the gallery at Plymouth State, highlighting the relationship between Carl, his student, James Fortune, who became a longtime Plymouth State professor as well, and some of Fortune's students. What can you tell us about that planned exhibit?
I'm thrilled that the university is doing a retrospective of James' work, and also highlighting Father's role in his life is great. There is also an additional show which is coming up at the Fuller Craft Museum, which in Brockton, I think, Massachusetts, which is going to focus on enamel arts, and I think it's opening in August. I think it's great that Plymouth has been so supportive.
Maybe you could just describe the enameling process sort of in layman's terms, and maybe if you know why it was a somewhat forgotten, you know, medium before your father came along.
Well, it's a somewhat forgotten medium by virtue of the fact that it's very stressful. It's a difficult medium. What you do is you employ ground glass, which you essentially place on a metal substrate and then fire and melt in order to get it to bond to that metal substrate. And that can be as simple as an enamel plate that one would use, or a coffee pot that the cowboys would employ. And it can be as elaborate as painting with fire. And what Father did was paint with fire. It's astonishing what you can produce, some remarkably beautiful things.
Oliver Dreyrup, son of New Hampshire's 1989 Living Treasure Award winner, Carl Dreyrup. Oliver, thanks for speaking with me.
Thank you very much for your kind attention.
We're always uncovering lost stories from the NHPR archives. Check back each week for more of the unexpected at nhpr.org.